Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Happy Easter, Central Campus. Man, I love Central Campus. How handsome is Pastor John and beautiful Pastor Becky. It is so great to be with you guys and the amazing Central Campus team. Easter Sunday, probably my favorite Sunday of the year. It is such a great day to be in church. Welcome to all of our visitors. We're so glad that you're here today. You're going to hear a life-changing, life-empowering, life-equipping message. So strap on your seatbelts, hang on to your hats, get ready, because your world is about to get rocked. The title of my message today is The Cross of Exchange. The Cross of Exchange. How many people know that Jesus came to die on a cross to make an exchange? If you didn't know that, there's a powerful story. Let me read to you from the Bible. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now, most of you will be saying, well, I know where you're going, Pastor, John 3:16. Actually, we're going to just back up a few verses. We're going to go to John 3:14. In John 3:14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Then the scripture that we all know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." This story that Jesus is referring to comes from a scene in the Old Testament. The Bible says, again, the children of Israel, they're walking through the wilderness and they're complaining. They're complaining because life's difficult. They're in a wilderness and they're complaining that, hey, there's no food down here. There's no water down here. How could God lead us here? And come on, how many of you know that God takes us through a wilderness? Not because he hasn't thought things through. He's trying to take us sometimes through a wilderness, through a desert moment, so that we look to him. Because when the land's flowing with milk and honey, when you're in a land of greenery, when you're in a land of rivers and abundance of food and crop, you don't need to look to God. So God has taken the children of Israel through a wilderness. Why? Because they're about to enter into the promised land and they're going to have to fight some giants. Because if you know one thing, the devil doesn't give up territory too easily. You'll notice that the devil is not happy to give up land. You'll find that there's a fight to buy your first home. There's a fight to take down territory. There's a fight to build a great marriage. There's a fight to raise great kids. You'll find that with everything, there's an incredible battle. And so God knows that what you and I need for battle is faith. What is faith? Faith is believing that God is good. Faith is believing that God can provide. When everything around about you, on your left and right, all your peripheral says, man, it is a desert. It is a wasteland. There's no food here. You lift up your eyes, you begin to realize, hang on a sec, my God is my provider. The Bible says that Elijah came to a brook and he used to drink out of the brook, but because of the drought, it came to pass that the brook dried up. Sometimes you can lose your provision, but with God, you never lose your provider. Sometimes you may get laid off, or you may lose your job, or a season in a particular company comes to an end. And you may say, man, how are we going to make it through right now? Well, all that changed is you just lost your provision, but you didn't lose your provider. God in heaven, when you make him Lord of your life, he's your provider. And so Jesus is telling this story where the children of Israel complained and they complained and they complained. And the Bible says fiery serpents, poisonous snakes came and began to bite the people, so they began to die. And so they come to Moses and they're like, Moses, we're dying. We're getting bitten by snakes, man. Not only is there no food and water, but now there's poisonous snakes killing us. And it was the judgment of God. And so Moses comes to God and says, God, will you stop helping me? Because God's killing the people. And Moses is like, this is not helping. Okay, I understand you're trying to get rid of whiners and complainers. Because how many people know that complaining is the language of victims? Whining is the language of losers. You don't want to be a victim. You don't want to be a loser. God wants you to change your language. And so So God says to Moses, all right, do this. I want you to take a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and I want you to lift it up. And whoever gets stung, whatever poison is in their system, they don't need to, you know, tie a tourniquet. They don't need to get down there and try and suck the poison out. All they need to do is look at the serpent on a pole. There's a couple of interesting things. The first one, whenever you see the word bronze in the scripture, it has to do with judgment. The second thing is, it's interesting that it's a serpent. Serpent, we know, is to do with Satan, is the author of sin, the author of pride, the author of rebellion. Satan is the serpent. So God is showing Moses, hey, I want you to put a bronze serpent on a pole because I'm going to bring judgment. Well, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so too the Son of Man must be lifted up. Your Bible and my Bible in 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus was sinless. He was blameless. He was spotless, had never sinned. The Bible says that God made him who knew no sin to become sin. Literally, when Jesus hung on the cross, he became sin. He became that bronze serpent. He became the object of God's wrath and God's judgment. Now, here's where it gets awesome. You and I as sinners deserve death. You know, I grew up in a home. My dad was an atheist. I didn't grow up with any faith. I didn't grow up with, going to church or, Christian beliefs or a Bible in the home. There was none of that. My dad told me when I was just knee-high to a grasshopper that there was no such thing as God. Problem is, when your daddy tells you there's no such thing as God, you start living like there's no such thing as God. So I did what everyone else did. I did drugs, and after a while, you do drugs, and then drugs start doing you. There's a reason they call it dope, because it just messes up with your brain. And then I'm, getting drunk and using people and all the while being empty on the inside. And then when I was 18 years of age, I hear about this surfing competition that was run by Christian surfers. I didn't think Christians were even allowed to surf because surfing's fun. I thought Christians weren't allowed to have fun. And so I thought, man, it's going to be like taking candy from a baby. I had a wetsuit sponsor, piping hot wetsuits. And they said, man, if you can just do well in one more competition, final or place, then we'll put you on the team. You'll be a team rider, free wetsuits. You get a logo on your surfboard. You know, it's kind of a little bit of a chick magnet when you're walking down the beach. You get instant respect with all the bros. So I'm thinking, this is awesome. Then I hear about this Jesus Pro-Am. So I'm just thinking, it's just taking candy from a baby. I'm going to turn up. I'm going to, get all the waves because, the Christians are out there. Oh, you take this wave, Roger. Oh, no, I had the last one. You have it, Ralphie. Oh, no, I insist. And I'll take them all. So I was just thinking, it was just going to be a cakewalk, only to find that when we get there, the surf is out of control. And then these guys on the beach say, hey, come on, let's pray. Let's pray for the Lord to drop the surf off. I'm like, hey, this is a groundswell. This isn't dropping off when you speak a few words into the sky. Well, right in front of me, the swell drops from triple overhead to double overhead to about maybe 1.5 overhead. And it stays like that for the whole weekend. It was just like one of those freaky moments. I made it all the way. And in the semifinals, I'm stretching. And I've got my headphones on. And back then we had a Walkman, which probably none of you realize what that is, but a Walkman is a cassette. You put a cassette in there. What's a cassette? It's a thing that had music on it. And I had Akadaka, that's what we call it down under, AC/DC, Hell's Bells, Back in Black. And so I'm just listening to this. Well, anyway, there's this guy walking up the beach, and he's got two things. He's got a Bible and he's got a loud hailer. And he's got the Bible, he's just yelling at people with this loud hailer. And he just sees me, and I'm stretching and I'm timing the set. You've got 20 minutes. You're allowed to, 10 wave maximum. Your top four rides count. And I'm trying to time the sets and trying to find where the rips are to get out as quickly as I can. And I'm doing all of this, and he just sees me, and all he thinks is, one thing, victim. And so he comes over and just starts yelling stuff from the Bible. And I don't even know what he was saying because I couldn't hear him because of my music. And so I just thought, I'm at a Christian surface thing. I should be polite. So I turned the music up, not down. The music is so loud. It's like my eardrums have burst and blood is, not really. But anyway, the music's really loud. And he's just yelling stuff, hellfire and brimstone, or I'm not sure, yelling stuff from the Bible through the loud hailer at me. So I'm just kind of smiling and nodding, thinking, after 30 seconds, he'll move on. Well, he just keeps going. As a minute later, a minute and a half later, and so I'm like looking at my watch, trying to get him to move on. He wouldn't move on. And so I just thought, man, I got to give him the backwards peace sign, and I'm trying to get him to move on. And then all of a sudden, a voice, as clear as I've ever heard, a voice says to me, "Jürgen, what he is saying is truth." The voice was close, but when I turned around, there was no one there. And now I had the hair standing up on the back of my neck. And all I could think of, what he's saying is truth. I paddled out in the semifinal. I won the semifinal, made it into the final. In the final, I came fourth. The guy who won that year got up and shared his testimony. And he shared the story about how he grew up in a Christian home. He had a Christian family, Christian upbringing. In fact, his dad was a pastor. And all the way through school, he got bullied because he was the pastor's kid. So when he turned 18, he decided he didn't want to be a pastor's kid anymore. He wanted to move out of home. And he said, you know, if you're running away from God, whatever you do, don't become a carpenter. And so I'm asking my friends, because I didn't go to church, I'm like, why not? He's like, oh, Jesus was a carpenter. He was? Yes. Listen. So I'm listening. And then he tells the story about, you know, he's living with his girlfriend. He's in sin. And he's driving home late one night, and he fell asleep at the wheel. And the car missed the turn and went off the embankment. And he said he's flying down a hill, and there's a giant tree in front of him. And he put his hands in front of his face and closed his eyes to brace for impact. And out of his mouth came the name Jesus. And instead of there being an impact, there was no impact. And when he opened his eyes, instead of being where the trees were, off the embankment, the car was back up on the road. And he's so freaked out, he pulled the car over. He thought, man, did I just dream that? What went on? He says, but as he got out of the car, he felt the presence of angels around the car. He fell on his knees and he gave his life back to Jesus Christ, and he was serving Jesus ever since. Well, when he shared that story, I'd never heard anything like that. My daddy told me there was no such thing as God. But when I heard that, I thought, man, if that's real, then I want that. So he said, everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you're here today and you're far from God, if you're here today and you've tried sex and you've tried drugs and you've tried booze, trying to fill that hole on the inside, you're using people, but you're empty on the inside. He says, what you need is Jesus Christ. He said, you don't need religion. You need a relationship with God. Jesus didn't die for a religion. He died so you could have a relationship and a connection with God. Well, I closed my eyes and I bowed my head, and I remember praying a prayer, asking Jesus to forgive me of my sin, and invited him into my life. And all I can tell you is that when I opened my eyes, it was like the whole world was different. I mean, every tree and every blade of grass and every branch and everything was still in the same place. But all of a sudden I could hear the birds. The only way I could describe it, it was like I was in a sleep, and now I'd awoken, like I was in a dream, and I'd awoken from the dream. I never understood born again. Nobody had told me about it, and I'd never read the Bible, never been to church. And all of a sudden, I began to realize that God was real. And I remember as we were driving home that day, the sun was setting, and there was this beautiful orange and yellow glow in the sky. You know what sunsets are like? So beautiful. And all I can remember is, for the first time in the 18 years of my life, I had a warmth and a peace. And I couldn't put it into words, but I felt like I was loved. I felt like everything that was missing was no longer missing. I didn't yet understand God. But I remember coming home and I said to God, God, I'm going to follow you, but I'm never going to read the Bible. I'm never going to church. I just want to follow you. So you can just imagine God in heaven. You know, 3 months later, I'm going to church. And just a few weeks later, a friend of mine gives me a Bible. And so now I have a Bible. But I thought, yeah, thank you. And I took it just to be kind of courteous and put it in my top drawer. Well, I'm sitting there at breakfast with my brothers, maybe about 5:30 in the morning. We're going for an early morning surf. In Australia, we call it a dawny, because you're paddling out at dawn. Going for a dawny, mate. And so we're going out for a dawn surf. And my brother just starts piping off. He's like, yeah, you know all your friends since you become a Christian hate you. I'm like, oh, all of them? He goes, yeah, all of them. Flanagan, Rolsey. And he just starts, Daniels, starts naming all my friends. And then telling me they all hate me now that I've become a Christian. And then he finally finishes, says, yeah, and you know what? I said, oh, what? He goes, I hate you too. And I remember I didn't know how to respond. So I just said, well, I've got one friend you don't have. He said, yeah, who's that? Jesus. And I ran into my bedroom so he wouldn't see me cry. I ran into my bedroom. This is a true story. I ran into my bedroom My heart's broken, but I didn't want my brother to get the satisfaction because I knew he was trying to wound me. I didn't want him to see me cry. And as I'm crying, all of a sudden I hear again that same voice that said, Jürgen, what he's saying is truth, say to me, read it. And I look, and my Bible, instead of being in my drawer, was now sitting on top of my desk. And the Bible had a white vinyl cover. And you know when you're crying, you got tears in your eyes, well, it looked like it was glowing. And then a second time I hear this voice say, read it. Well, I'd never read the Bible. I didn't even know where to start. So I just did what this voice said. So I walked over and I opened up my Bible. And when I opened it up, it fell to John 15, verse 18. First words I ever read, first words I ever saw. And this is what it says. It says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. If you still belong to the world would love you as its own. But because I chose you out of the world, that's why the world hates you. I remember getting the Bible and just dropping. It was like freaky. It was like God was speaking. And then I realized that God speaks. I realized that God is real. I realized, oh my gosh, God, like he knew exactly where I was. You know, that was 32 years ago. For 32 years, I've been following this God, and he is so good. Friend, the cross, Jesus hanging on a cross, was so that God could make an exchange. The Bible says that all have sinned. I've got four kids. I didn't have to teach one of them to lie. I didn't have to teach one of them to cheat, to steal, to not share. Okay, children, we're going to do a lesson now on how to not share. Mine! They just do that naturally. I didn't have to teach them how to throw a tantrum in a checkout in a supermarket. They see candy. They want candy. I want candy. I want candy. You know, they can throw tantrums with the best. They can fight in the backseat. They're fighting on the way to church. He touched me. He touched me. He touched me. I'm driving to church. I'm the pastor. I'm like, if you guys don't stop fighting, I'm going to pull this car over and come out and beat the snot out of you. And then we're going to go to church and learn about the love of Jesus. I mean, it's just crazy. And so it's just crazy. And so I didn't have to teach my children how to do wrong. None of us had to be taught how to sin, how to do wrong. It just comes naturally. Well, the Bible says that because of sin, we were objects of God's wrath. The devil knew if he could put sin inside of man, he would hurt God. Because now the very thing that God loved, you and me, he's now in a conundrum because God is holy and just and righteous. He would now have to bring judgment on the very, very thing that is the most dearest to his heart. So what did God do? 2,000 years ago, he came down and became a man, the man Jesus Christ. And then he became that serpent on a pole. You're going to say, how did Jesus become a serpent? He was sinless. He was blameless. He lived a perfect life. Absolutely. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He did miracles. He helped the poor. He helped the broken, the down and out. Well, the Bible says that when he was on the cross from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, from 12 midday till 3 in the afternoon, God took all the sins, all of your sin and all of my sin, and put them on Jesus. And the Bible didn't say that Jesus just absorbed our sin or took our sin. The Bible says he literally became sin. So that the anger of God, the judgment of God, the wrath of God that was directed at us now was redirected to Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, and Jesus took the full blow of the wrath of God that you and me, that your sin and my sin deserve. Jesus took it all upon himself. But the Bible says in that same verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, God made an exchange. Jesus took our sin, became our sin, so that we could become as perfect and as righteous. You know, there's a beautiful time in the Bible where God looks down, and this is before Jesus did one miracle, before he preached any sermon, where God looked down and said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. When God looks at you because of what Jesus did on the cross, when you receive Jesus into your heart, there's an exchange. Jesus takes the punishment, takes the wrath and the judgment for all your sin, all my sin. And what he does is he gives you and I his standing before God. He gives you and I right standing. That's what righteousness means, right standing before God. So you and I can have the blessing of God, have the goodness of God flowing into our lives, not just eternal life. Man, I got to tell you, it's an awesome thing that when you and I die, we go to heaven. not hell. I mean, that's awesome. But I got to tell you, my testimony is I've been following God for 32 years. The day you become a Christian doesn't mean, yes, when you die, you go to heaven. That's kind of by and by. The day you become a Christian, heaven begins to make its way towards you. Heaven begins to flow towards you. I can't even begin to express the freedom, the blessing, the abundance, the goodness of God that I've experienced in 32 years. And I know this, that God is no respecter of persons. If he's done that for me, man, he'll do it for you. But are you surrendered? You know, just a finishing story. I'll never forget. I started going to church. I'm 18 years of age, and I meet some friends of mine, and they're the same. They're 18 years of age, but it was a little bit different because they grew up in church. And so I remember on Friday nights, we used to go into our local mall, and there was all kinds of nightclubs and everything in there, and we go street witnessing. Anyway, I'm outside this one nightclub, and these two guys come walking out, same age as me, and they're walking out, and they're kind of drunk because the drinking age in Australia is 18. And I'm like, guys, what are you guys doing? You guys are drunk. I'm witnessing to people. You go to the same church. How come you guys had a Christian upbringing? I had to get saved on a beach. I'll never forget what they said. They said to me, hey, it's easy for you, pastor. It's all right for you. I said, well, how's it all right for me? They said, well, God does stuff in your life. He doesn't do anything in my life. And I'm like, oh, whoa. I didn't know what to say. I remember driving home, saying, God, how come you don't do stuff in their life? God, don't you want them to be on fire for you? God, I love the way you do stuff in my life, but I don't understand. Why don't you do stuff in their life? And as clear as I've ever heard God speak, I heard him say, Jürgen, he says, do you want to know why I do so much in your life, but so little in theirs? I'm like, yeah, please tell me. He says, Jürgs, you've given me all of your life, and I can do so much in it. He says, but them, they've only given me the smallest little piece and I can't do a whole lot in there. How much of your life have you given to God? Friend, the whole Easter message is about a God who so loved you, he came and hung on a cross to make an exchange. He took your death, he took your sorrow, he took your sickness, he took your poverty, he took your anguish, he took your distress, he took your pain, he took your broken, he took your dysfunction, he took your abuse, he took all of those things on himself, and then he made an exchange so you could have the blessing of God, the goodness of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, all of those things flowing in your life. I'm not sure where you're at today, but I do know this. You need to turn your life to Jesus Christ. So would you do this? Would you close your eyes and bow your head? I want to pray for you today. And while every head is bowed, every eye closed, with nobody looking around, if you're here today and you're saying, hey, pastor, that's a word for me. That's a word for me. Then in just a moment, I want you to raise your hand. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you're away from God, disconnected from God, far from God, if you're like, hey, pastor, I need an exchange. I need a brand new start. Well, the Bible says that God's into brand new starts. It's called born again. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you're saying, hey, I need a brand new start, I want you to raise your hand. If you're saying, man, I need some forgiveness today, I want you to raise your hand. Hands going up everywhere. Hands going up everywhere. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I need to surrender to God, raise your hand. If you're here today and you're saying, man, I'm far from God, but I need to come back, I want you to raise your hand. If you're here today and you're just disconnected from God, I got to tell you, life's too short and God is just too good to live disconnected from God. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you just need a brand new start, raise your hand. If you need forgiveness, raise your hand. If you've been living a loveless existence, raise your hand. Or maybe you're here today and you just find like, man, I just don't even know what my purpose is. I don't even know what life is all about. Friend, life begins when you surrender to God. Just raise your hand. Who are those ones? That's it. Just lift your hands all over this place. Hands going up. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, you saw all those hands that were raised. And I ask, Father, today that they would know that their sins are forgiven, that your hand is coming upon them. Father, the exchange that Jesus made on the cross, that's why it's a cross, a place of exchange, that their sin, their shame, their guilt, their brokenness is taken away, that today they can have forgiveness. They can have renewed life. They can have renewed purpose. Lord, they can know what it is to walk in the grace of God, the goodness of God, the peace of God, and the power of God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.